Let's take the Word of God tonight. We will go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I want to continue what I began this morning, and I want to encourage you, if you were not here this morning, of course, we'll get those uploaded as quick as we can on our website. But this morning I preached on truth must be first. And we are in a warfare. We are on the battlefield. And the devil wants us. He wants our children. He wants our families. He wants our church. And he wants you. And the Bible says that we must take unto us the whole armor of God. And the Bible talks about the Roman soldier as Paul is using this analogy. And the girdle of truth. Loins girt about with truth. Truth is where we begin. But tonight I want to continue this. Just because I sense the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's begin back in Ephesians chapter 6. And let's go back to verse number 10, if you would please. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now tonight, I pray that God will enable us to see what we believe God calls the second piece of this armor, the breastplate of righteousness. And tonight, I want to talk to you on this subject, covered with His righteousness. Now this evening, the word righteousness is found 92 times in the New Testament. It is a word that is used often. But what does it mean for us to take unto us the armor of righteousness? What the Bible uses the word here, take unto you, of course it talks about our loins girt about with truth, but having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, as Paul is using the analogy, now remember, he's chained to a Roman soldier. He is, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, using the soldier that is ready for warfare. And he looks at the soldier. He can see his feet. He can see the loins girt about with truth, that belt of truth that he has. And by the way, that truth belt keeps everything else together. Without that, he cannot go into warfare. And without truth, truth has to come first. But then he notices on the chest area is a breastplate. Now today, we might not notice this as much, but as I gave the illustration this morning, if you notice what a police officer wears, he wears a bulletproof vest. Very important. Very vital that he has this on. No doubt ones in the military, if they were going out to battle, they would have protection for the breastplate. The area here, may I say to you, this is vital. The vital organs are here, the lungs, the heart, the kidneys, whatever it may be. And especially during Paul's day, if a Roman soldier were to get wounded within the chest area, it was often fatal for his life. They did not have the means that we have today, but it was fatal. And why do you think a police officer and why do you think an officer in the military wear something to protect here? The most vital organs are here. And an injury here will bring forth death, especially on the battlefield. So God instructs you and me. Now, this is something we have to put on. We are to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, if we're going to talk about righteousness, first, we must talk about positional righteousness. That's the first thing I want to talk to you about. Now, at the moment of salvation, every one of us who are children of God, at the moment of salvation, we were declared righteous before God because of Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, your righteousness and my righteousness, the Bible says, they are nothing but filthy rags. Do you know the best that you and I can do before God is nothing but filthy rags in His sight? I don't have righteousness of my own. I may try to live a good life and I may try to walk worthy of the Lord and all of that, but my righteousness is not enough. That's why when we become Christians, the righteousness of Christ is applied to us. Let me read to you a verse. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." You know something? I could never come into the presence of a holy God on my own. But because the record of Jesus Christ has been applied to me, I can go right into His presence. I am declared righteous. This is a positional righteousness. Oh, by the way, when we come to Christ as sinners, we are bankrupt. We have nothing. Nothing to offer. We did not say, "Well, God, I'm going to do the best I can, but I need salvation." No, we come to Him offering nothing. We are lost, depraved, and no way to save ourselves. But we come to Him and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. His righteousness is applied to our life. And you know something? It's a wonderful thing to know that righteousness is imputed to us instead of our sin. And we have believed in Jesus Christ. But let me say this to you. The righteousness here in Ephesians chapter 6 is not speaking of imputed righteousness. It is given. By the way, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And Paul is not saying, "Hey, every day you need to get saved. Or every day you need to have the imputed righteousness on your account." That's not it. We are righteous before Jesus Christ. But the second kind of righteousness is, this is really where I want to bring us to, is practical righteousness. Now I like to give an illustration. And by the way, every illustration has limitations to it, all right? There are areas about an illustration that might not be totally true. But let me give an illustration. When our children were very young, and just children, just babies almost in many ways, guess what we had to do before we took them anywhere? We had to dress the crazy little things, you know? Isn't it something about children? I mean, they don't care what they're wearing, do they, you know? In fact, do you know that we have to dress them? We have little children that came to church tonight, and I don't think that Isaac and Kayla said, "All right, Titus, go in there and get dressed. All right, it's time to go." I don't think they did that. If they would have, we all been embarrassed, all right, tonight, you know? Well, they wouldn't have done that because why? They've got to take care of him. They've got to dress him, little Ollie, tonight. I'm sure that Nicole had to dress him. I seen him before church. She had to put clothes upon him because he cannot do himself. Now, I think this is a good illustration. When you and I come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are clothed by God Himself. He clothes us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In a sense, He dresses us in that way. But there should come a time, I hope when Titus is 10, 11 years old, that he can dress himself, you know? I mean, that would be pretty important. You see, what I'm trying to help you understand tonight is the practical righteousness is not us dressing ourselves in the righteousness of Christ. That is taken care of. But it means this. It comes time for us to live out the righteousness of Jesus Christ practically in our lives day by day. So when Paul says we are to take unto us the breastplate of righteousness, I want to ask you something. Have you put on the breastplate today? Now, I brought something with me because I wanted to show you something, all right? Up here in the pulpit, there is a bulletproof vest. It's dangerous being a pastor, all right? So anyway, but we have this up here just in case, and just obviously we trust the Lord, but all of that. But this is a bulletproof vest here, something that I could put on or anyone could put on to protect them in a moment of danger. Now, let me say this to you. Years ago, there was a police officer that it was early morning and he was driving down and he watched a red pickup truck run through a red light. And he thought to himself, his name was Bob Vernon, and he thought, well, maybe they're hurrying to work or whatever it may be, but he needs to be pulled over. So he flipped his lights on, radioed in that he was in pursuit, and the pickup truck pulled over. What he did not know that was inside the pickup truck was a man that moments later had just robbed a 24-hour convenience store. Sitting beside him was a bag full of money, and in his hand was a loaded 45. And when Bob Vernon walked up to the truck, I mean, his spirit was good. He was going to try to maybe help this guy out a little bit because he had just run the light. He got out of his words. He said, "Good morning, sir." And that is all he got out because the thief pulled the gun into his chest and fired, knocking Bob Vernon 7 feet from the vehicle. But what he did not realize was just seconds later, the police officer stood to his feet, firing his service pistol. One shot went through the open window, smashing through the front windshield, and the second shot went through the door, entering into the leg of the thief, and which at that moment the thief hollered throughout his 45 and the bag of money and surrendered. That day, Bob Vernon was saved because of something as simple as this. It was a material called Kevlar. Kevlar is an amazing material that was made to protect a man's vital organs, to protect him from a bullet entering into his body. Now, let me say this to you. On that day, Bob Vernon, if he had, because it was a little cumbersome, and you've seen police officers, their chests obviously because they have this under their uniform. No doubt it's cumbersome. No doubt it gets a little difficult to wear. But if that day he decided, "I'm not going to wear my bulletproof vest," he would have lost his life on the battlefield. Can I say this to you? Every day that we do not put on the practical righteousness in our personal lives, may I say to you that we are opening ourselves up to the attack of the enemy, who is the devil, and we will fall on the battlefield. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, what does it mean to put on the breastplate of righteousness?" Now, listen to me closely. The Roman soldier's breastplate protected, obviously, the vital organs, the heart, the lungs, and those special organs that no doubt if they were attacked or they were injured, he would die. In the same way, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Do you know something tonight? Now, I know that our heart, according to the Bible, is really referring to our mind. It's referring to what we really are. And I understand tonight the breastplate of righteousness, it protects our heart. It protects the vital organ. And God said, with all diligence, we are to keep our heart. We are to guard our heart. Now, let me say this to you. Brethren, tonight, if you are living with unconfessed sin, hidden sin in your life, can I say this to you? You have taken off the breastplate of righteousness. Do you see, every day that I live, I am to wake up in the morning and spend that time with my Savior through the Word of God. And choir, wonderful song tonight, done so very well, about our quiet time with God. You know, in that quiet time, we confess our sin. In that quiet time, we read and get into the Word of God, and we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. And in that quiet time, we spend a wonderful fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Do you know what we do in the quiet time? We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We are right before God. You see, tonight, if there is anything in your life that you know is not right between you and God, I'm going to tell you something. When the warfare comes, and it will come, and the battle comes, you will not make it on the battlefield. You see, the devil knows things about our lives. He knows where we are struggling with. And Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And tonight, if he can accuse you, rightly so, because of things in your life, you're never going to make it. God wants us to live a righteous life, a life that is clean and pure before Him. I want you to take your Bibles, and I want to show you some things here tonight. Let's go to Psalm chapter number 11. When we think of this word righteousness, I just want to show you some things here this evening. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, how do we bring this practically to our lives?" Well, let's just think of this. Are the words that come forth from your mouth The jokes that you tell, the stories that you share, are they righteous? Meaning before God, can God say that is pleasing to me? Is it righteous? Is it worthy of being in the presence of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? If it's not righteous, then brethren, we must confess that and forsake that in order to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Can I ask you something tonight? What about the music that you listen to? What about the movies that you watch? What about the entertainment that you're involved in? What about the places that your feet take you? And what about the things that your hands touch and the things that you put into your body? What about the conversations that you have with others? You see tonight, if there are anything in our life that is not righteous before God, it must be confessed and it must be forsaken. Now, brethren, I understand you may be thinking, well, Pastor, there's no way that we can be sinless. I understand that. But brethren, we can be right with God at any given moment. You know something? We can live pure and clean before the Lord. It doesn't mean that we are perfect. It doesn't mean that we are sinless. But it means this, that there is nothing between my soul and the Savior. You know something? There is a strength. Now, it's a supernatural strength, and I'm not talking about something spooky. I'm talking about that God enables you when you are living right before God. But if there is anything in your life tonight, anything that we are trying to cover and we are trying to hide, young people, from our parents or from our spouses or from anything that we are covering up, it is not righteous, then we are not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Psalm chapter 11, I want to show you some things here. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Psalm 11, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." Think of this. Here we have a warfare going on. The wicked are getting ready to shoot. But the Bible says in verse 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." Now the ideal that his countenance doth behold the upright is that God keeps the upright. He guards them. He protects them. Listen to me closely tonight. The Lord is our righteous God. And brethren, He knows what is not righteous practically in our lives. Practically, are you living a righteous life before the Lord? God sees us. He beholds us. We can hide nothing before our God. But brethren, we are in a warfare and we are in a battle. And when we lay aside that breastplate of righteousness, when we say, well, I enjoy my sin more than I enjoy my fellowship with God. Or I'm going to do this, I don't care what my parents say. And, you know, this is not too bad. And we lay aside the breastplate of righteousness. Can I tell you, we open ourselves up to temptation from the devil. And by the way, I believe that the breastplate of righteousness guards you from temptation. Hey, look, temptation is going to come. There's no doubt about it. It is going to come to each and every one of us. But when we have the breastplate of righteousness on, when we are seeking to walk with our Heavenly Father and to be righteous before Him, in His eyes, He doth behold the upright. He sees everything that we see. He knows the very thoughts that we think. But when we are seeking His righteousness and seeking to walk with Him, can I tell you what we do? We are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You see, tonight, God wants us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Would you take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter number 15? I want to show this to you. Oh, brethren, tonight God has made wonderful provision for each and every one of us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now notice what Psalm chapter 15, and I've chosen some of these because I believe this can help us. Here David says, Lord, in verse number 1 of Psalm 15, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh the reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. You know what I believe there? I believe that God is saying, the man who works righteousness, and by the way, look, that working righteousness is in the very center of all that goes on. He's walking uprightly. He's working righteousness. He speaks the truth in his heart. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Do you know something, brethren, tonight? Guile is found in every one of us. It is. In fact, one of the very things about Jesus Christ, they said no guile was found in him. I mean, he spoke the truth and nothing but the truth. And he was honest and upright. But he speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. I believe that is referring to gossip and slander. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh a reproach against his neighbor. The word neighbor there is not referring to the next door neighbor, what we would say. That is anyone that we come into contact with. You see, brethren, tonight, if we are walking uprightly and we are working righteousness and speaking the truth in our heart, it is the inward righteousness that eventually comes outward in our lives. But brethren, if we are not right with God in the secret, private place of our heart, let me tell you this, you are open to the attack of the devil. You know, sometimes we think about people and we see a big fall in their life and maybe a failure and maybe a time when we think, well, boy, I didn't see that coming and look what happened to them. And boy, it just seemed to happen in a moment. Oh, it never happens in a moment. May I say to you, it was not suddenly. It was the undermining going on in their heart for weeks and months and possibly years. It was a little unrighteousness here and a little unrighteousness there. And it was never confessed and it was never forsaken. It was pushed under the rug per se. It was justified. It was rationalized. It was thought of, this is not too bad in the society in which we lived in. But it was a little unrighteousness and a little unrighteousness, and finally came the great fall. Can I say this to you? You think about a house. You know something? Just let a little rain, just a little few drops of rain get inside your house, maybe on a wood floor. Or maybe in the ceiling. You know what? For a while, you won't really recognize it. For a while, you might be able to. And by the way, if the stain comes on the ceiling, you know it's water. But guess what you can do? You can paint it. You can. You can put kills on it and kill the stain. And then you can paint it and say, looks good up there, doesn't it? But you know behind the scene, there is a leak going on in the roof. And unless the leak is taken care of, eventually the ceiling will come down. And brethren, this is what we do in our life. We let a little sin, a little thing. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It is the little leaven that leavens the entire lump. And see, we let a little sin and we are not putting on the breastplate of righteousness. This is when you and I say, oh God, I want to be as thoroughly right with you as humanly possible. Lord, I want my thoughts to be clean and pure. And God, I want my attitude to be right. And I want the things in my heart to be pure before Thee. You know what we're doing? We're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And we're walking daily. You know what we're doing? We're walking with His righteousness. Oh, it's imputed to us, yes. But this is practical righteousness day by day. But when I yield to sin, can I tell you what happens? I take off the breastplate. When I surrender to the flesh, the lust of the flesh within my own heart and mind, then I take down the breastplate. When I gossip,
when I criticize? You know what I do? I just take down the breastplate. I take it off. When I do not honor God in my family, do not honor God with my tithes, and do not honor God. You see, there are numerous things that we could talk about tonight, but the Spirit of God reveals to us where we have taken off the breastplate of righteousness. Tonight, can I ask you something? Are you wearing the breastplate? You say, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. But are you wearing the breastplate? You see, I can't make you wear this. You have to put it on. I cannot force you to put this on. This is a decision. It is a surrender of the will. It is a yielding to put on the breastplate. It is saying, Lord, I'm not going to let anything in my eye gate. I'm not going to let anything in my ear gate. Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to be in the house of God. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to obey you. Why? Because I must put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is practicing righteousness day by day. Years ago, the story is told of in 1934, the King Alexander of Yugoslavia landed in France for an official visit on that day. Before he left his warship, he dressed in the full uniform of the Admiral of the Navy. Finding that the uniform's tunic did not fit easily over his bulletproof vest, he laid it aside. He wanted to look good because this was his first visit. He was going to be paraded around in a vehicle. And there on that day, he entered the special automobile which met him at the dock. His protective armor was gone. He laid it aside. A few minutes later, an assassin's bullet pierced his uniform and entered the breast of the king. The king died. One of the first assassinations to ever be caught on film happened that day simply because a man laid aside his breastplate. Tonight, can I ask you something? You and I are no match for the devil. I'm going to tell you this. Listen, he is an enemy that you cannot see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If we could see him, we'd go outside and kill him tonight, you know? But we can't see him. And by the way, he is more powerful and more mighty than any of us here. But brother, I'm going to tell you this. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know something? The devil is already a defeated foe. But when we take off that breastplate of righteousness, when we choose to walk according to the flesh, I'm going to tell you what we do. We open ourselves up to the attack of the devil, and he has his way with us. Look, you say, Pastor, how do you know this? Because there's been times in my life when I've taken off the breastplate of righteousness. You know what? I think even sometimes we can do it out of discouragement. We can do it out of despondency or despair and just think, man, I've tried to live for the Lord and I just can't, and I'm just going to lay it aside. And boy, the devil has got us in a good place. He's got us vulnerable. He's got us open to the attack of his fiery darts. Tonight, are you covered with his righteousness? Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight.